razor, take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talk about the revolution.
This Week in Radical History for the week of July 21st. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer. Some audio was borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York. And more radical info can be found on the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This week in radical history, starting July 21st, 1916, U.S. Marines land in Haiti again to protect American interests. They'll go back again and again as well, the U.S. having a lot of interest to protect.
The men and women in our armed forces protect our borders and our people, not the financial interests of Folgers, Chiquita Banana, Exxon, and Halliburton. These are not isolated incidents of stupidity. They're part of a long, bloody history of foreign policy being conducted for the financial interests of the wealthy few.
Also on July 21st, 1954, the Geneva Accords are signed, ending the French colonization of French Indochina, a place also known as Vietnam. The U.S. discovering that the French might not be interested, but by God, the U.S. must have some special interest in Vietnam. Within a year, they'll have her first military advisor setting the stage for the Vietnam War. Also on July 1st, 1972, George Carlin is charged with disorderly conduct for performing his famous Seven Words Act in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
There are two things that I blame for the abysmal condition of this magnificent species that had such potential at one time, and that is religion and commerce. And those are the two things that hinder us here. I mean, the religious people say this is immoral, it is corrupting, and it will do bad things to your character if you even hear these words as a child or a grown-up or whatever. And commerce says if you say these things, the customers and the advertisers are going to run from you.
This week in radical history for July 22nd.
On this day, July 22nd, in 1863, American frontiersman Kit Carson was ordered by the military governor of New Mexico to get rid of the entire Navajo Nation. At first, Carson was shocked by the brutal nature of this plan and attempted to resign his position. But after being pressured to stay, he obediently began the forced removal of the Navajo people from their land. First, Carson and his men implemented a scorched earth policy, burning Navajo fields and homes and stealing their livestock. Carson then began attacking the Navajo strongholds that fought in resistance until the Navajo were forced to surrender. A few months later, 8,000 Navajos were forced to march 300 miles to Fort Sumner, where they were imprisoned for the next 4 years. Over 300 people died during the long walk, and many more died in imprisonment. This is just one of the many brutal atrocities committed against indigenous populations in the land of the free.
Also on July 22, 1938, Joe Louis defeats German boxer Max Schmeling. Because of the Nazi persecution of the Jews in Europe and Hitler's disdain for blacks, the fight had a mystic proportions, with Louis seen by many as fighting to uphold democracy and the race. He succeeded convincingly, ending the fight in the first round. Also on July 22, 1970, during the Alcatraz occupation by Indians of all tribes, the first child was born on the first freed Native American piece of land in the 20th century. Also on this date in 1995 in Israel, four foreign activists break padlocks and reopen the main gates to the Palestinian Hebron University in the West Bank, closed by Israeli security and occupation forces back in 1987.
On this day, July 23rd, in 1846, writer and philosopher Henry David Thoreau was thrown in jail for refusing to pay his $1 poll tax in protest of American slavery in the Mexican-American War. Thoreau had resisted his poll tax for 6 years because he did not support the government's use of the money. Although he was only in jail for one night, the experience deeply impacted him, and he began speaking out about the responsibility of individuals to hold their government accountable. 3 years later, Thoreau wrote Civil Disobedience, an essay explaining how the actions of the American government were controlled by only a few individuals rather than the people. Thoreau's essay was highly influential to many activists.
Also on this day, July 23rd, 1892, strikers battled Pinkerton thugs during the Carnegie Steel Strike in Homestead, Pennsylvania, as the Pinkertons, trying to import and protect scabs, opened fire on striking steel workers. In the ensuing battle, three Pinkertons and 11 Strikers and spectators are shot dead. Strikers militantly resisted the private goons hired by Henry Clay Frick to dislodge him from the plant grounds. They fought back with guns and homemade cannon. The strike, however, lasted for 4 months, but the company was able to restore production as winter approached and morale declined. Anarchist Alexander Berkman, on this day, would enter Frick's office and shoot him, trying to revenge the deaths of the Strikers. As a side note, later in the year, Emma Goldman would horsewhip her old mentor, Johann Most, for shit-talking Berkman's attempt. She horsewhipped him on stage and broke the whip afterwards. Also on July 23, 1908, Nazi sympathizer and anti-Semite Henry Ford would sell his first Model T. On July 30, 1938, Hitler presented the highest non-citizen award, Grand Cross the Supreme Order of the German Eagle, to Henry Ford in Berlin. U.S. Senate reports in 1974 on Ford Motor Company's aid to Nazi war effort. Have you driven your Ford in support of the Nazis lately? Also on July 23, 1967, starts out of Detroit upheavals, 7 days of social unrest, fighting with cops, anti-business, anti-government actions, including looting, results in 43 dead, 2,000 wounded, and 5,000 made homeless. Largest U.S. riots in a century, sparks additional riots throughout the United States. Also on this date in 1968, police kill 7 in standoff with black nationalists in Cleveland, Ohio, triggering days of riots and 4 more deaths. Lastly, on July 23, 2004, preemptive harassment as FBI and Joint Terrorism Task Force investigate info shops and anarchists throughout the country. In Lawrence, Columbia, Kirksville, Topeka, and St. Louis, agents served several anarchists with subpoenas, ordering them to report to the grand jury on the same day they were planning to go to Boston to protest the Democratic National Convention. Let freedom ring. This day in radical history for July 24th, labor organizer Mary Harris Mother Jones begins the March of the Mill Children from Philadelphia to Theodore Roosevelt Summer Hole in Oyster Bay, Long Island, New York, to publicize the harsh conditions of child labor in Philadelphia textile mills. When Mother Jones first visited Philadelphia, she found child workers as young as 10-year-old with stooped shoulders and missing fingers and hands. In response, she organized the march. Mary Harris Mother Jones led striking children from Kennington Textile Mills in Pennsylvania on a 17-day march from Philadelphia to Oyster Bay, New York, where they hoped to confront Roosevelt in his summer home. About 300 men, women, and children were led by 3 children dressed as Revolutionary War soldiers. Along the way, they raised awareness of child laborers with rallies in eastern Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, and won the hearts of many. When Mother Jones and her army arrived in Coney Island, she was asked to speak. The result of the speech was The Wail of the Children, which was delivered today. When they reached Oyster Bay on July 29th, where Teddy Roosevelt was vacationing, he refused to see them. Our beloved Teddy Roosevelt would be quoted as saying, "The worst foe of the poor man is labor leaders, who tries to teach him that he is the victim of conspiracy and injustice." Of course, the children would have problems reading these reports in the newspapers, since they're often kept illiterate and had no fingers for turning the pages. Also on this day, July 24th, 1925, John T. Scopes, convicted in Tennessee of teaching evolution in high school, fined $100 and cost for monkeying around. Also on this date in 1950, German V-2 became the first rocket to be launched at Cape Canaveral, Florida. Big surprise, as the U.S. provided safe haven for thousands of Nazis following World War II, including known war criminals and hundreds of scientists who developed the Nazi-German rocket program. In the U.S. intelligence, there was no prohibition for hiring anyone in the Gestapo or SS, historians said. This was a don't-ask-don't-tell culture. Also on this date in 1974, House Judicial Committee debates Nixon's articles of impeachment, including obstruction of justice, abuse of presidential powers, using CIA, FBI, and IRS and other federal agencies to violate civilian constitutional rights and to create the Plumbers Group to engage in illegal acts, as well as failure to supply subpoenaed material to the committee. Failure to turn over subpoenaed materials. Same crimes, different times. Lastly on this date in 1983, women tag U.S. warplanes with graffiti at Greenham Commons in England. This week in radical history for July 25th, 1648 in New World, York County Court upholds authority of colonists to kill on site any free Indians they see in settled areas. Also on July 25th, 1930, a white mob threatens to hang ranchers employing Filipinos in Washington, Filipinos being the Mexican of their time, or the Irish before them, or the Polish before them, or the Chinese before them. Just pick your wave of immigrants you vilify and marginalize. Also 1946, the crime, 2 young black couples are killed by a lynch mob at Moore's Ford Bridge over the Apache River. The 4 were tied up and shot hundreds of times in broad daylight by unmasked men. Murder weapons included rifles, shotguns, pistols, and machine guns. The Tuskegee Institute newspaper called it a lynching. The cover-up. Despite the intense investigation by the FBI, the killers remain free. The best people in town won't talk, says Georgia State Patrol officer, on the climate of fear and threat of retaliation that discourages law-abiding citizens to cooperate with the investigation. Again, in 2005, there was another attempt to bring the survivors of the mob to justice, but that failed as well. No justice, no peace. Also on the state in 1969, proving how everyone is equal in the United States, Senator Edward M. Kennedy drives a car in which Mary Jo Capaci is killed earlier in the week, receives a 2-month suspended sentence for leaving the scene of an accident, however nothing for killing Mary Jo.
On this day, July 25th in 1972, the Washington Star exposed the story of the Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment, a cruel medical study that the U.S. Public Health Service had been conducting on 399 poor black men for the last 40 years. The men, who were in the late stages of syphilis and lacked access to proper health care, were not in a position to deny this supposedly free treatment. They were never told that they had syphilis and were actually left untreated while slowly dying from the degenerative disease. The experiment had continued despite the World Health Organization's 1964 declaration that informed consent was mandatory for experiments involving human beings.
Also on this date, 1983 in Nicaragua, the American right-wing funded Contras torture and kill 15 at San Francisco del Norte. Reagan compares the Contras to the nobility of Abraham Lincoln. Also on the state in 1990, U.S. Ambassador Applegate tells Iraq President Hussein that the U.S. won't take sides in Iraq-Kuwait dispute, or perhaps it will invade and start the first Gulf War. It's one or the other. Also on the state in 1993, Lebanon. Israeli begins blasting targets in southern Lebanon. 130 die by the end of the month. 500,000 civilians flee the bombardment. Tune in again in 2006 as Israel and Hezbollah go at it. Lastly on this date, in 2001, Bush administration, high on image, short on principle, rejects the draft treaty on enforcement of biologic weapons ban. Saddam can't have them, but we sure can. This week in Radical History for July 26, 1860, Norton I declares the United States dissolved, turns over temporary powers to state governors, and declares himself emperor. This one-time very rich land speculator living in San Francisco even issues the Imperial of Norton Treasury notes from 50 cents to $20 denominations. Also on this date in 1874, the U.S. orders friendly Indians are to remain in fixed camps in Wichita Agency, Oklahoma Indian Territory, and answer periodic roll calls to stop any possibility of them moving around freely. Also on this date in 1877, 30 workers killed at the Battle of Viaduct by federal troops in Chicago. The Battle of Viaduct, U.S. troops and 2nd Militia Regiments and police attack about 5,000 workers at Halstead and 16th Street in Chicago, Turner Hall raid. Police raid the hall during a meeting of the German furniture maker, killing one and wounding many. A judge later finds that the police are guilty of preventing the workers from exercising their right of freedom of speech and assembly. A grim reminder that the true function of police in the Army is not issuing traffic tickets, paying officer-friendly, or defending the shores of terrorism, but keeping its own citizens in line and the nation workers docile in the need of political and business powers that be. That editorial from the Daily Bleed website. Also on July 26, 1909, during the week of July 26 through August 1st, Barcelona presented a spectacular and full-scale insurrection, a largely spontaneous uprising with little guidance from Union and radical leaders, as reported in the London newspaper. What was happening here was amazing. A social revolution had broken out in Barcelona, and it had been started by the people. No one had instigated it. No one led it, neither the liberals nor the Catalonian nationalists, nor the republicans, nor the socialists, nor the anarchists. This, of course, would be a prelude to the Spanish Civil War, for on this date in 1936, the attempted fascist takeover of Spain begins, flattering Adolf Hitler agrees to provide aid to the fascist government. 4 days hence, Germany and Italy provides planes to airlift fascist troops from Africa to Spain. Of course, the United States, France, and England refuse to aid the people fighting the fascists. Also on July 26, 1947, National Security Act consolidates Armed Forces' newly created Department of Defense, replacing the War Department. It further establishes the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, and the National Security Agency, NSA, and numerous other secret black budget government agencies outside public review and control. This marks what some argue is the beginning of the American global empire building and the end of the American Republic, with its gutting of the Constitution and the slide towards an American police state.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 26, in 1953, Cuban revolutionaries Fidel and Raúl Castro led an unsuccessful attack on the Moncada barracks in Santiago de Cuba. The attack was an attempt to overthrow Cuban President Batista, who consistently protected U.S. interests at the expense of the Cuban people. Upon his release from prison, Castro joined forces with Che Guevara in Mexico and organized the 26th of July movement to liberate Cuba. After peaceful resistance tactics failed, Castro and Che resorted to armed guerrilla warfare, successfully overthrowing Batista in 1959.
One last item for July 26, 1967. Three black men were killed and nine others brutally beat in what was known as the Algerian Motel Incident. Detroit police, Michigan State Troopers, National Guardsmen, and private guards who had been directed to the scene, responding to a telephone report of a sniping, the police group invaded the Algiers Motel and interrogated 10 black men and two white women, none of whom were armed, for an hour. By the time the interrogators left, three men had been shot to death and others, including the women, beaten. The resulting Detroit riots included 40 deaths, 2,000 injuries, and 5,000 left homeless, involving more than 4,700 federal paratroopers and 8,000 National Guardsmen to quell the disturbance after this gross injustice at the hotel. This week in Radical History for July 27, 1869, William Silvis dies, head of the National Labor Union, the first such organization in U.S. history. Is quoted as saying, "Capital blights and withers all it touches. It is a new aristocracy, proud, imperious, dishonest, seeking only profit and the exploitation of workers." Also on this date in 1918 in Canada, United Mine Workers organizer Ginger Goodwin is shot by hired private cops outside Cumberland, British Columbia. His murder sparks Canadians' first general strike. His remains are buried in the Cumberland Cemetery nearby. A section of the island highway was named Ginger Goodwin Way. He won't be forgotten. The rough sandstone marker on his grave says, "Lest we forget, Ginger Goodwin shot July 27, 1918, a worker's friend."
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 27th, the Chicago Race Riot of 1919 began, lasting 5 days and claiming the lives of 23 blacks and 15 whites. The riot was sparked when a black teenager named Eugene Williams drowned after a group of white men pelted him with rocks when he drifted into the all-white section of a beach. The uprising was a culmination of the city's reoccurring racial violence and the deteriorating social and economic conditions faced by blacks, but it also reflected growing racial tensions nationwide. The year 1919 saw over 20 race riots as black and white World War I veterans returned home to fierce job competition caused by inflation and rising unemployment rates. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it, say it, say it.
Only a couple more items for this week in Radical History. July 27, 1932. Army assaults encampment of over 20,000 World War I veterans who had camped in Washington asking Congress to speed up their bonus payments. The president orders current vets to break up the encampment of former vets. Two were killed and hundreds wounded as the military fixed bayonets and cavalry charged across the veterans' encampment. Also on that date, 1953, Korean War ends. However, do we know when it started? Years before communist, quote, forces us into Korea, in 1887 the U.S. invaded to protect American interests. They would be forced out a month later. Again, seeing that everyone is equal under the law in 1957, Jimmy Wilson, a black farmhand from Alabama, is sentenced to death for stealing $1.95 from a white woman. Should have seen what had happened to him if he would have stole $2. One last item, 1974, the bill reads, on June 17, 1972, and prior thereto, agents of the Committee of the Re-election of President committed unlawful entry to the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee in Washington, District of Columbia, for purposes of securing political intelligence. Subsequent thereto, Richard M. Nixon, using the powers of his high office, engaged personally and through subordinates and agents in the course of conduct a plan designed to delay, impede, and obstruct the investigation of such unlawful entry, to cover up, conceal, and protect those responsible, and to conceal the existence and scope of their unlawful covert activities. Therefore, Richard M. Nixon, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office. House Judiciary Committee votes 27-11, recommends Nixon's impeachment. Remember, it's the Nixon Doctrine and the Bush Doctrine that the executives have special privileges, and therefore anything they do is not considered illegal. Here's news, freedom banker invades Lewis Price Field, inventing a new car for a new world. Do you value quality and comfort as well as agility and speed? This has been This Week in Radical History, produced out of the Glee Studios. Special thanks to the WBAI Radio Roots crew material used in the show, the Slingshot organizer, and the Daily Bleed website for all their great radical info. Special hello to another station airing this little ditty Wednesday nights on the program Rise Up on Radio Free Edmonton, CJSR, FM 88 in Alberta, Canada. Lastly, a reminder what anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman once said, if voting ever really changed anything, they would have made it illegal. Don't make her take out that horsewhip. And until next week, as always, I'm yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon. Blindfolded in my studio, my nigga the driver park with Elvis and Nicaragua. I'm in my studio, nigga up a tree at the office in my bedroom, on the underground on the park with Elvis in Nicaragua. Blindfolded in my studio, here everything is perfect.
Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, "Yo, I voted."